summer, there's just something about it. The blistering sun, the aroma of a barbie, getting stuck to the seat in the car, and of course, cricket.
That's how it's done.
From these tiny seedlings will grow graceful willows, not planted simply to please the eye, but for a specific purpose.
Need the edge? Has to be Irwin. Available at Bunnings Warehouse. Irwin. Trade strong. This is Triple M's Willow Talk.
Yes, coming after an very, very, very entertaining day three and looking ahead to day four. It was absolutely unbelievable at the MCG. 7 wickets in 2 days and we had 15 on day three. It was such a wonderful day's action and it is, of course, a traditional Boxing Day test. So we've given Mark Howard the sub seat and we've brought in the big guns, Adam Gilchrist and Aisha Gilmer.
And Ez?
Where is Howie?
Oh, he's probably sleeping in. I know that I reckon he had a mate's wedding on last night. So he's known for his big wild nights, isn't he, Howie? I reckon 1.5 cans and he's probably in bed.
Well, that's what happened at Warnie's place.
Yeah, that's right.
Came in for the food, went pretty much straight after it.
You're referring to Warnie, the great Shane Warne, who is, of course, a friend of Triple M. Tell us a bit about this, Gilly, because he decided to host the entire Fox Cricket commentary team to his house. It was good fun.
It was very good fun. He's a very hospitable man, as Warnie. He put on a wonderful spread. The caterers did, but he did open up the door to his cellar. And that's where we last saw Mark Waugh, another good friend of Triple M, I reckon. He was lurking around there late in the evening looking for bottles that had red tops on them. I think Penfolds. Where did he end up, Junior, in the wine list?
The Henschke.
Hill of Grace.
Which I turned down in the Hill of Grace last year in Adelaide.
Yeah, well, Penfolds isn't good enough for Aisha Gilmer, as all our loyal Triple M cricket supporters will know.
But I must say, and Mark Howard did say it on air in our coverage on Fox Cricket, that in relation to Shane Warne's house, he reckons anyone who's got a nightclub in their house, it's a definition of success.
Are we surprised, though, when it's Warnie?
No. Don't act like you two weren't there and hanging out in the nightclub, dancing away on the dance floor with the disco ball above you.
I was lurking in the corner, yes. I wouldn't have thought I would be on the dance floor, but it's an amazing setup there. But the King, Shane Warne, very generous man. And Howie, going back to the point, while he's away, we've got to sink the slipper in. Yeah, walks in, has a big feed, and then disappears first. Doesn't say goodbye, does the phantom.
Do you reckon that he wore proper shoes or thongs to the wedding last night?
Yeah, that's interesting. I think he
wore thongs to his own wedding.
Own wedding, exactly right. Yeah, so I don't think he would have changed his process there.
It was a cracking day of Test cricket. So much talk about the pitch in the opening couple of days. We had 7 wickets fall. India eventually declared. And then all of a sudden, day three, 15 wickets fell. Jasprit Bumrah, 6 for 33, the most successful stint by an Indian at the MCG. And then Patrick Cummins absolutely turned it on in the final session. Aisha Gurr, it was incredible to watch.
Yeah, the bowlers were sensational. And after all the heat that was on the pitch, all the questions asked of maybe bringing in an Adelaide drop in, a Perth drop in. Matt Page is going to be doing backflips with a ground star. 15 wickets in a day. Almost beat the 17 wickets in the first day of 2005 in the Ashes at Lord's. But incredible stuff. From Bumrah, we saw complete skill. Just 24 years of age. He's already taken 44 wickets inside 9 matches this year, in the calendar year. He is been such a key man for India. The way he got his wickets, well thought out plans, executed brilliantly. And then Pat Cummins, he's bowled over 100 overs in this series already. He spent maybe, just 45 overs off the pitch in this whole game. And he runs in on a hat trick, just a brilliant spell of bowling again.
Yeah, he's gone from, I heard Robert Craddock on Cricket 360 last night say that Pat Cummins has gone from Australia's most fragile cricketer to one of their most durable, most reliable go-to men. It took him 6 years between his debut and his second test, but now he's unstoppable. And he's just given that Australian team and all of Australia a dare-to-dream sort of feeling. I think India's still well and truly on top and in control, but, gee, it was great fun to watch.
Durable and reliable. He's going to be sponsored by some protective gear soon, I think.
Oh, here we go. Hang on.
And Isha Guri is back on Triple M Cricket, and that is the kind of stuff that she delivers. I'd love to call it gold. I'm not sure, so I'll move straight on from that, Keely. We love Isha.
Tell you what, though, he's a good-looking rooster, isn't he?
Here's a fact you may not know about Patrick Cummins that was told to me by one of the other boys, and I had it confirmed by Mr. Cummins at the AB medal last year or this year. He wears blue contact lenses, which make those blue eyes of his look even bluer. Can you believe it? If he's not good looking enough, he's done that to try and enhance his looks. But just on him,
Darren Lehman, another good friend of Triple M in previous times.
Are we speaking of good looking?
He used to wear the glasses with just a clear lens, no prescription. Just
to make himself look smarter.
Yeah, don't think it worked on either account for Buffer. Anyway.
Just on Patrick Cummins, he told me on Fox Cricket last night that he's never bowled a spell quite like that one. I want to ask you, as someone who can take us inside when everything feels like it's against you, you've had this horror sort of roll with, you know, bowling in real ridiculous heat and not a lot of luck and not many breakthroughs, and then you come out and the top six fail and then everyone falls from there and, you know, you're getting smashed. To come out with that sort of energy, as Isha said, how hard is that mentally to produce that?
Yeah, clearly I haven't had that challenge with ball in hand, but I know from a keeping point of view, the energy you need to conjure up to go out there and be enthusiastic and run up to the stumps and sort of keep the team.
Because they had the right to drop their heads.
Absolutely.
Almost.
They haven't lost the test match yet, but they certainly could have done that in that bowling spell and fielding spell last night. They could have had it totally taken away from them, but I still think India clear favourites. But inspirational stuff. And it also, just thinking ahead to the test match in Sydney, it just throws a few barbs towards the Indians again. Kohli out for a duck, Pujara. If India are 2-1 up, they won't be too bothered, but it just plants those seeds of doubt.
You're on the back foot, and that's what you can do. That's what you have in your hands, is that psychological kind of breakthrough. Pat Cummins getting Kohli out again, going into Sydney. And then all of a sudden as well, I know we joked about the fact that it was 2% win for Australia on the Wimbies, but it does give you potentially a bit of hope. You know, you've brought yourself back into the game. India very much on top, but you've got a couple of days where there could be some potential rain around. That takes time out of the game. They could be fighting for a draw, and potentially if India don't get enough runs, they could even, I mean, it's
say
a very
it.
Slim chance.
Say it, say it.
Pull off a miracle.
Hey, here we go.
Now, we were just talking about how impressive Patrick Cummins and Jasprit Bumrah were on day three. It was definitely a day for the quicks. Adam Gilchrist, I wanted to ask you, Isha just alluded to the fact that Jasprit Bumrah is, you know, the rise of him in 2018. He made his debut earlier this year. I want to ask you, how good could he be?
Yeah, it's frightening the way he's improved and the way he's taken a hold of Test cricket. The first subcontinental-based bowler, fast bowler, to take 5 for in South Africa, England and Australia all in the same calendar year. That's amazing. There's been, I guess, Kapil Dev, you think back to a champion like that, Javagal Srinath. Of course, India's not renowned for the fast bowlers, but they've brought with them on this tour a group of fast bowlers that are relentless. So he's such an exciting bowler to watch, such a humble person, an amazing backstory that you can really delve into and find some extraordinary stuff. But just, he's so humble out on the field. He doesn't have all the histrionics. He doesn't get overly aggressive by way of body language. Got 5 for yesterday, sort of picked up the ball, acknowledged his teammates, then threw it back to him, walked off back at the top of his mark.
He wanted his 6.
And he got it.
He absolutely did.
And a lot of people talk about you need to play the 4-day stuff to get yourself prepared and ready for Test cricket. Yes, that's really important when it comes to bowling long spells, but he's learnt his trade through a lot of limited overs cricket. Yorkers, the odd bouncer, the slower ball. And what he did so well with those 5 wickets is he really just took his time with it. It's not about using it all at once. He really just waited and was patient about when he used those particular deliveries, which tells me he's already arrived in Test cricket. He's 24 years of age. He's got the skills. He's got the ability to bowl whatever ball he wants. You look at that delivery he bowled to Keith and Jennings in England, where no one thought he could get the ball to come back into the left-hander. He's producing the skills with his wrist. The question now is, how long can he go for? How long can he stay ready to play Test cricket and bowl the long spells, especially with the amount of cricket there is around the world these days. But he is such an asset.
The good thing is he's got half the run-up, so he does half the work of like a Patrick Cummins or something like that. But you speak about his story, Gilly. Absolutely incredible story. He lost his dad when he was about seven, so his mum raised him. And one of the reasons why he's so good at bowling Yorkers is because his mum wanted him to keep the noise down when he was messing about with the cricket ball inside the house. And so he aimed for the skirting instead of the floor or the wall because that was the quietest bit. So he paid tribute to his mum on Fox Cricket as well, which was really lovely. But I want to move on from the emotional side of things to the, I think, pretty hilarious side of things. Tim Payne's work behind the stumps has been first class with the gloves, but with the banter. We heard him in Perth. It was gold. We heard him on day two just having a bit of a chat to Rohit Sharma, or to Aaron Finch in front of Rohit Sharma. But I feel like it reached an even better point on day three. Let's have a listen to some of his work.
Tell you what, Big MS is back in the one day score too. We might get him down to the Hurricanes, this bloke.
Yeah.
We need a batter.
Oh, a little reference there to MS Dhoni.
Mm-hmm. Fancy that, fancy. Sure, extend your little Aussie holiday. Beautiful town, Hobart, too. Got your nice apartment on the waterfront.
Oh! Not sure what Matt Wade thinks of that.
Have him over for dinner.
Smell like gas.
You babysit?
So it was absolute gold right there Tim Payne to Rishabh Pant, who we know was pretty chirpy to Patrick Cummins, in particular in Adelaide. I was standing next to the substitute fielders, the 12th man in Pete Hanscom and Peter Siddle when he was doing that. And we're all listening to the audio on Fox Cricket. It was absolute gold from Payne.
Turned into Jerry Seinfeld, hasn't he? Tim Payne is using the contentious decision by the ICC to push the microphones up whenever the broadcasters wanted. We're loving it. The players sort of were umming and ahhing. The Players Association aren't certain about it, but he's creating a name for himself, isn't he? Using it to his advantage.
All I'm going to say is, Josh Butler, you need to up your game, mate.
Ashes is going to be fun, you reckon?
Absolutely. It's going to be a battle between Payne and Butler, but he's going to have his own show on Triple M after this, isn't he?
I reckon.
He's been outstanding, incredibly witty. He's brought the Australian public with him, and that's exactly what he's needed to do as Australian captain. It's been awesome.
As somebody who's got to know him a little bit over the years, it's really fun to see the Aussie public see the real Tim Payne as well. It's been absolutely first class. The superstars of Fox Cricket, Isha and Gilly, the faces of Fox Cricket. We've loved working alongside them. Gilly's pulling all sorts of faces at me at the moment.
I know. Well, I'll tell you a story about that. As each day's coverage begins, usually there's a great opener, lots of great, you know, vision and overlay, and then they come out to a wide shot and there's a voice that you hear and a face that you see. And I did that once and then Isha's done it ever since.
About Isha, though, is she's so little that it takes a while to actually spot her in the wide
Our
shot.
Our flying fox going around the MCG
searching. Where is she? Where is she?
That's exactly what they wanted. They wanted to get the whole of the stadium before they finally arrived.
I'll tell you what, the viewers are happy when they finally zoom down in you. And that's you and not my face.
Yours and not my face there.
But anyway, we're enjoying ourselves on Fox Cricket.
You have been, obviously, a big part of Fox Cricket. And this week you pulled off a couple of exclusive interviews with Steve Smith and also Cameron Bancroft. There's been a lot of feedback. Before I ask you, Gilly, I'm going to ask Isha, how did you see those interviews and the feedback to them?
First of all, I thought Gilly did an incredible job. He has become the Michael Parkinson of Australia.
It's not what she called you earlier.
But it was a difficult one because there's been so much happening this year. It's a bit like the Ben Stokes thing back home. It just keeps going on and on and on. And with both of them, I feel like this had been obviously festering away for quite a long time. There was an opportunity for them to say how they really felt about something. And it obviously made them feel better after the interview. And there has been a lot that has come out of it after the interviews from the media, from former cricketers, about the fact that they shouldn't have said anything.
But they were always going to talk.
But also, I kind of look at it. I always like to look at things from both sides. And after what they've been through, I think it was very difficult for them not to. And no one has been in their position. So I kind of, I just look at it from the outside and I say, what's done is done, but let's move, let's try and move on now.
You got a bit of an insight into what it's like in the world of a journo, Gilly, and the, some of the feedback, and all of a sudden there's, you know, opinions everywhere. How did you take it, and what did you think about the reaction to the chats?
Yeah, I'm not surprised at the attention that they received, given that the boys hadn't up to that point spoken since their you know, arrivals back into Australia and all those emotional, dramatic press conferences. I think the three players, Smith, Warner and Bancroft, will all have teams around them that were calculating the best way that they do re-enter cricket. And Cameron Bancroft certainly was considering that, what's the best way to go about it. And they approached us and me and said that they were keen to just do one TV interview and try to really be open and honest, as open and as honest as he could be. And I think Cameron was that. I felt, it was a new feeling for me, as you say, Nez, from a journalistic point of view. I certainly don't feel like I'm a journalist, but I'm in broadcasting and I'm in the media now. But I'm also a friend of these guys. I'm a former player, and I was trying to balance all that up. I've been criticised for not the timing of it. Why now? Why Boxing Day? I've been criticised for the questioning that I avenue that I went down, and then maybe when I did expose something, I didn't attack hard enough. I didn't go into it for that. I just didn't. As I say, they approached us. I didn't go chasing an exclusive. So, and then get criticised about what he said and should he have opened his mouth. This is the Bancroft situation. Steve Smith played it very, very similarly to what he did in the open press conference that he did before heading overseas. I feel for the players. I just hope that they can eventually get to that position of feeling like they've been able to move on. As long as they're honest with themselves, and that's the biggest question around this, and that'll play out when they do return, whether they've been honest with themselves, how they integrate back into the group. Do their teammates want to be playing with them? What's the dynamic within the, you know, we all know all the rumours and suspect all these different things that are around about who's involved, who knew, whatever, but it wasn't my job. I didn't see it as my job to have to go in and find out all that fine detail. Cameron offered, I asked, I said, from one answer that you've said there, mate, it sounds like someone asked you to do it. Can you say who it was? And he said, it's Dave. You know, he was just being honest. I didn't come away from that thinking he was blaming David Warner. I think he answered openly and honestly, confirmed what everyone thought. But then he said, I take responsibility for it. But anyway, it's created a lot of discussion about it. It's a painful situation for all involved still. And by the reaction, it seems like a lot of people, a lot of other journos who probably didn't get the opportunity to talk to them, were a little bit disappointed and decided to really reignite it as well. So it's an interesting time. It was a learning time for me.
And Cameron Bancroft will be back playing cricket very, very shortly, perhaps even in the next couple of days if Adam Voges picks him straight away for the Scorchers. Do you think he will?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which will be good to see him, and hopefully he's received with...
That's tomorrow.
Tomorrow. It comes around quickly, doesn't it? So I wish him all the best, and I'm sure everyone in this room does as well. It's time now for one of our favourite segments.
Now on Triple M's Willow Talk...
Five!
1, 2, 3, 4, 5! Howie's Top 5.
Well, this week it's Nez's Top 5.
Not this week, sorry, Howie.
There's a quirk in cricket, and that is the quirk of the substitute fielder. Some cases it's a bloke who's never even played proper cricket before at a high level, like Grant Baldwin, the masseuse who came in as a substitute fielder and misfielded in Adelaide. Other times it's a bloke who's taken over 200 test wickets. And this week, Peter Siddle, he came on for one over, and this happened.
Yeah!
Little top edge, and it is dropped.
Who's that?
Warning.
Who's that?
I didn't even
notice
that. He's a
Victorian too, a Victorian on Boxing Day.
He's taken over Merv Hughes for most wickets.
He had the big white floppy fielding hat on, Sidsy, didn't he? raced out there, energetic, trying to inject life into the Aussie fielding team who were being blunted by the Indian batting. And
it was a horrible moment, and it sparked three drop catches. But that is starting our top five sub-fielding moments in Test cricket. That's Pete Siddle, number five, Ishigura. At number four, we decided to have a bit more of a positive approach. He now is a Test player, but at the time he was just a substitute fielder, and we were all trying to work out how to say his name. This is Manus Labuschagne at the Gabba.
Look at this. Oh, that's a good one. Off the bat, onto the pad. Look at that for a leap. That's an excellent catch.
So Manus Labuschagne, he's since had also one of the most embarrassing runouts in Test cricket history in the UAE.
Yeah.
At number three, you may remember this. He became a bit of a cult hero.
The long blonde locks, I think the people here in Sydney like it.
I think there might be plenty of fans out there from the northern beaches, real surfer culture down that way. They've taken to Mickey Edwards.
Every time the ball went near him, the crowd absolutely lost it. He had long blonde locks, and his little brother now, Jack Edwards, scored his first class ton earlier this year, I believe.
Yeah, he's been terrible in the Big Bash, though. Not working for my super coach team.
Oh, you picked him.
She's filthy.
And was it the blonde locks that attracted you to selecting him?
Potentially. I don't want to talk about it, Gilly. It's fine.
Okay.
So that's number three. Number two is one of your favourites, Gilly. I reckon you should talk us through this one.
Oh, well, this was, 2005, the Ashes. We a dominant victory at Lords. We had the heartbreaking one-run loss at Edgbaston. We had the big sort of shootout on the last day where we held off for a draw at Old Trafford. Dramatic batting collapse, and then Ricky Ponting saved us really for the draw, and then we went to Trent Bridge. It was all evenly placed. We were just getting some momentum in the series, and then a bloke that wasn't even picked in the... I reckon you could have picked a squad of 35 for the England team. He wouldn't have been in it, but gee, he was a gun fielder, and he got out there and he got the job done.
Can you believe it? Ponting at full tilt. Look at him reaching for the line there. No dive. Here it comes. The Australian captain has to go. Run out. Direct hit by England's 12th man. He's made a name for himself.
He's made a name for himself and he got an MBE.
Yes, Gary Pratt. And they say he was a 12th man. Rubbish. He was just brought down from Durham. He was a fielding specialist.
He got an MBE.
Can you believe it?
Just for that.
I'll tell you what, and Punter didn't react well, did he? Walking off, he looked up. Duncan Fletcher, the England coach, was smiling.
There was
and
a bit
been...
of finger points.
Oh,
wasn't
yeah. Well, and a few choice words to go with it.
My personal favourite, guys, is a bloke who's now in the media working at Channel 7. And he was a state cricketer for both WA and South Australia. And he was, look, I was living in Western Australia. He was reasonably well known at the time. Well, at least we thought he was. His name is Theodropoulos, which is beautiful because when you've got drop in your name, you really had to produce a moment like this as subs fielder.
Right out of the middle of the bat and out of the middle of the hands.
The sub fielder has dropped it.
It's the replacement fieldsman. The chance to be the hero, and he'll never forget this.
Mitchell Johnson gets the length better. It's in the air, and the substitute's got it. And the boys are flying over to him. They know how much he'd be ruined dropping the chance. Marcus Stoinis. He makes up for the earlier drop and strong relief on his face.
So, Baird, Stoinis, Theodropoulos, he has this great moment of dropping the catch and then taking the catch. And no one still knows his name in that clip.
Oh, drop a lot became drop not.
We going to a break, are we?
I think that was karaoke standards. Sorry.
Theodropoulos, it was one of the great moments of substitute fielders. Triple M's Willow Talk is here thanks to Irwin Tools. If you demand performance and durability on the job site, then it has to be Irwin, with Irwin's vice grip locking pliers, quick grip clamps, record vices and Weldtec circular saw blades. You'll get the job done right first time. Available at Bunnings Warehouse. Irwin, trade strong. I reckon that sounds a bit like you, doesn't it, Gilly? Quick grip clamps and locking pliers. You interested in that sort of
thing? I just saw the word, or heard you say the word, durability again, and it throws me back to the comment from Ishigura in the earlier part of our show. But Bunnings Warehouse, that's where you get it. We might have to get Mr. Cricket to get some of these devices in his lab.
Circular saw blades, that's what I saw. And I saw Junior's toenails this morning. He needs those blades badly.
It's one of those disturbing images.
You would have seen them, again, going back to that night at Warney's during the test match. What about the clobber he was wearing? Looked like granddad, didn't he? He had his cap on, his sunnies on top of his cap.
I think he only has one outfit, actually.
Check shirt that he's rocking at the moment. He's not rocking it. It looks atrocious. A pair of shorts and his thongs. Imagine the disdain with which Shane Warne looked at him. King of the Julios, Warney, always beautifully groomed and presented. And there's Junior waddling in straight from the day's play.
Oh, I kept referring to him as a junior soccer coach with the collar
that
underneath and then the collar on top. And I said, all we need to get you is a whistle. And fair to say, he wasn't too impressed with it as the night went on. But good old Junior. We love him, though, don't we?
Oh, yeah. Champion, his toenails.
His dry sense of humour. Takes a classy man to score a ton on debut, as he mentions every single session. The Big Bash, Aisha's already pointed out that she's a bit of an unhappy person at the moment because of Supercoach. So we're going to talk about that up next. And it's time to talk some Big Bash, because one of the blokes who would love to be out in the middle at the MCG right now is Peter Hanscom. But I tell you what, he turned it on out in the middle of the SCG for the Stars up against the Sixers. He certainly didn't do his chances of a recall any harm, but it's amazing what happens when the shackles are released, Ishigura.
Absolutely, and you haven't got someone bowling at you full and swinging into his pads. Massively took advantage of the short stuff that was coming at him, hit a couple of big boundaries. But that will do his confidence a lot of good. You know, it would have been disappointing for him to miss out, especially in a Boxing Day test. So, yeah, good for him that he's been able to come out of it. And he seems like a man that has quite a good temperament, that, you know, he can fight back in lots of different situations. Whether he can fight himself back into the test team remains to be seen, but he's certainly going well with the limited over stuff.
It's amazing when cricket's fun again, how much it can release the mind.
Absolutely. I was in a stranglehold with cricket, I think 2006-07 against England, and Andrew Flintoff was all over me in 05 in England, and then when they came out here, even though we were dominating as a team, Freddie was everywhere I looked, and every time I batted he was bowling, and I edged one. Through gully, a vacant gully area. First ball would have been at my second duck for the match, would have been a pair if there was a fielder there. But next ball, I sort of creamed one off the back foot and it hit the boundary. And I thought, hang on. And that one shot unlocked that. Oh, that's what it feels like. And I think Peter Hanscom had that moment the other night where he was able to go out there, not in the traditional whites. He was in the green of the Melbourne Stars, and he took advantage of it. And spot on. That's why we start playing the game. It's fun.
It's probably unlikely he'll be brought in for the SCG test, do you think?
Oh, he'll certainly be in the squad. He'll be there. They'll see what happens, you know, as this test match finishes and what the end result is. And I don't just mean by way of if they're 2-1 down, but certainly the toll it's taken on the Australian team, the amount of bowling that the team's done. Obviously, Mitch Marsh, fortunately for the Australians, I think once they lost that toss and had to bowl on what looked like a featherbed wicket initially, it certainly livened up yesterday, didn't it, with 15 wickets. But it was good signs that Australia had got Mitch Marsh in, because he bowled 26 overs without him.
The most he's ever bowled in an innings, equal most.
Yeah, but Hanscom will be considered when they get to Sydney, see what the situation on the scoreline is and what conditions are up there.
He plays spin really well, but Mitch Marsh scored 100 at Sydney last time against the English. They'll probably look to bring another spinner in as well. So, yeah, there'll be some decisions to make.
The Big Bash action coming up. But of course, you can see all the action on Fox Cricket. Renegades up against the Sixers tonight. And then also Hurricanes up against the Scorchers on Sunday night, which, as you've already mentioned, is probably going to be the return of Cameron Bancroft. So all eyes on that one tomorrow night. A little bit of WBBL Ishigura, because this is a wonderful... I mean, we've seen Elise Perry absolutely turn it on throughout the entire tournament. But Elisa Healy, what a story. story. She lost her grandmother, and obviously all of our thoughts are with the Healy family. Mitchell Starc wore a black armband out at the MCG on day three. But Elisa Healy comes out and scores a ton in her honour. I mean, she's such a talent, isn't she?
She really is, and she's just kicked on another notch this year. She's been fantastic for the Australian team at the top of the order. In T20 cricket, she's just been outstanding. So, yeah, fantastic 100 to back up a 70. Elise Perry is also smashing it. Two centuries to her name after she was left out of the team of the year in the WBBL last year. So she's proved a few people wrong. And that lineup for Australia now is looking ridiculous. I'm sorry, but that is like unbelievable, their batting lineup.
Well, Perry batting at six, I think, in the World Cup.
Yeah, she barely batted.
And in amongst all the run scoring, don't discount how good a wicketkeeper Elisa Healy is. She is outstanding, as is the standard of wicketkeeping across the women's game globally. Seeing a lot of talented wicketkeepers in the WBBL, but in England, wherever you go, just so impressed by it. And it's an art that gets little recognition.
Yes. No one ever spoke about you. Isha, are you ready yet to talk about that? No, she's still not ready. Doesn't want to talk about her Super Coach team. Oh. She's still sooking it up in the back there.
I chose loads of sixes for this round and they've all disappointed. Jack Edwards, what are you doing, mate?
Jack Edwards.
Moses Henriques comes in, doesn't do anything. What are you doing?
He took a great catch. It was a Buddy Franklin specky at the SCG.
It was nice. Just on that Super Coach, I mean, you've just got to be across your team, don't you, Ish? You know, and obviously players, you can't guarantee that they're going to get results. So you speculate, you see the talent and the potential. So, but the management as a Super Coach is vitally important, isn't it? And it's interesting that our own Mark Howard, who's still snoozing, I think, after the wedding he went to last night, he was certainly snoozing at his selections last round because after the test match day's play, the Big Bash came on over in Perth. And he looked up and he realised that he still had Mitch Marsh in his Super Coach team for the Scorchers. And he'd just been running around out on the MCG. So he wasn't going to earn him too many points in the Big Bash, was he?
Lift how he lift. Let's look ahead to day four action, shall we, guys? Because Patrick Cummins, he just gave the Aussies just a little hint of hope with 4 for 10. He called it, he said that he's never bowled a spell quite like it. How much hope do they have? You're laughing.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves here, guys. You went from 1% to 2% after that spell.
So we doubled our chances.
But no, seriously, it was... it was an inspiring spell from Cummins, and he is someone who's just impressed everyone, not just in Australia, but around the world, just the way he just keeps running in for his side. I read an interview last year ahead of the Ashes about how long he had waited to get back into the Australian team after all the injuries he's had, not just playing for Australia, but playing at home. And then obviously he did extremely well in the Ashes, and... you want to throw the ball to him. I don't understand why he doesn't take the new ball, actually.
Yeah.
But you want to throw the ball to him in any given situation. If they can rattle through India quickly, then you just never know. You know, they'll be hoping for a draw. There's a bit of rain around. That might take some time out of the game. But, you know, it's a long way away. Like I said before, there could be a potential to be close to winning.
Yeah, one in a million in Dumb and Dumber, wasn't it? But Lloyd was happy to say there's still a chance.
You're saying there's a chance.
Yeah, that's right. Pat Cummins, of course, brilliant with the ball, but also he's batted for over 7 hours in this series. Australia need one of the top order to bat that long in this test match if they're firstly going to even entertain the thoughts of drawing, let alone winning. And it was a horrible batting display. 151 all out. That's got to be the point of difference. Yes, get it done in the first half an hour today with the ball, but then with bat in hand, it's got to be a massive improvement.
I want to ask, did Virat Kohli miss a trick by not enforcing the follow-on? You speak of the rain and the way that the pitch was playing and the way that his quicks were going. Obviously, he probably wanted to put the Aussie attack back in there, given they were toiling away and already bowled a bunch of overs in hot conditions. But did he miss a bit of a trick there?
Yeah, I would have thought everything's pointing towards having another bowl, but I don't have to go out there and do it. I didn't know what the bowlers were thinking, feeling, how's his back, all these different things, how bad is the wicket, Did he see it deteriorating a great deal more today? So I can't factor in all that. But I thought the momentum of the game, the timing, it was 66 overs or so that they bowled. It would have been an hour and 40 tonight, maybe, you know, just a burst. Come back fresh for day four and then think about day five. I don't think they would have probably had to bat again.
What do you think, Ish?
Kerry will say it's fofo.
Yeah.
Fear of following on. Up a couple of times in the last 10 years or so, and no one wants to do it again. But yeah, I think given the I think it's actually more Kohli wanting to be ruthless and grinding the Australian bowlers into the dirt. It backfired a little bit. They're still in a very, very strong position.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to cost them.
And will the pitch deteriorate anymore? That's going to be interesting to see. With a bit of rain around, it might just hold it together a little bit. Might be still some pace in the wicket. We saw the short balls, they're still coming through quite nicely. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting couple of days.
Some news that emerged yesterday was that Steve Smith has been allowed to play in the Bangladesh Premier League. There were a few objections from the other teams. They've decided to withdraw those objections in favour of a couple of other things themselves. So it means that Steve Smith is free to play. It starts in January. Gilly, a little known fact for you. Steve Smith was with Hugh Jackman in the Hamptons.
I thought you were going to say in Bangladesh. What's Hugh doing there? Did he get a contract?
Hugh Jackman has been a bit of a mentor to Steve Smith through this really, really tough time. And
nice.
I believe Danny, Steve's wife now, was over there as well. They hadn't met before, Hugh and Danny. Steve and Danny had met before a few times. He's a great friend of yours as well, Isha, isn't he? You spent a great amount of time with him last year thanks to Gussie Warland.
Yeah.
Five overs on air of a commentary stint, a great amount of time.
I think you spend more time with him, Nerilee Meadows, actually.
I may have asked Gussie whether he ever speaks about me after our one-year anniversary Boxing Day last year. Gussie is polite enough to always oblige. But let's have a little moment, shall we, and relive some of those special times at Triple M Cricket. This is Hugh Jackman's stint in the commentary box.
Let's see what happens here. He's in. Nice shot. He's waiting. He's going to get a single there. Warner cutting out there to cover. It is picked up, thrown in. Just one more, and he moves to, as I look at the 33. Wokes comes in, following a Bancroft. That ties him up. It's a little high, I think. There's a very, very enthusiastic appeal for leg before, not given.
Any danger of telling anyone that the ball hit him on the pad?
Oh. You know you've stuffed up when 15 people behind you are completely pissing themselves laughing.
I was one of those people. It was gold, wasn't it? I mean, it was...
I love that man. He's my man crush. Oh, unashamedly, the greatest showman. What a legend.
You mean outside now.
Just his
voice. I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it?
I know. I tried to watch it at Christmas with Rich's nephew, and because I managed to send a picture of me and Hugh, back home, and Lil Will couldn't believe it. And so I tried to watch it. But yeah, great from Gus, because his charity obviously got you for life, doing some incredible things.
Yeah.
For men everywhere, not just in Australia, but around the world, just encouraging them to talk more about everything that's going on in their lives. And he's been able to help Steve Smith through what has been a tough time for him. So he introduced him to Hugh Jackman. Yep. And I think that's actually helped him quite a bit. So good on you, Gus, for sorting that out.
Very important role that they're playing, no doubt about that. The Greatest Showman. It's not really Triple M, is it? But it's an amazing musical.
You've revealed your true colours, Gilly.
Similar moment. I actually had a wonderful photo with Hugh Jackman and Mel, my wife. We were all snuggled up cosily, and then it was sent to us by a photographer. And remember Jerry Maguire? There's a line from Tom Cruise as Jerry Maguire, and there's a photograph of the young number one draft pick and the parents, and then in the edge of the photo, you can see someone's shoulder, and he says, "That's me, the manager." That was me. The photo had been cropped, and that's all you could see of me, my shoulder.
Devastating. So,
and Mel was snuggled up under Big Hugh's arm.
There's a few stories like that. I'm pretty sure that Gussie's wife actually could have had the chance to date Hugh Jackman as a kid, ended up picking Gussie. She backed the wrong horse.
No. The Kermit the Frog fork in the road. What?
She goes to bed every night thinking about Gus Warland, of course.
Not just thinking, but looking at Gus Warland.
Oh, we love you, Gussie. I'm sure you're someone's man crush out there. Maybe not Adam Gilchrist.
No, he's a big man. He's well worth the climb too.
The good news is Howie is back next week. But you still get Adam Gilchrist and Aisha Gua. So you guys are excited, right?
We'll talk with the bosses. that can't be right. Really? How much fun have we had?
You might need to make a few apologies to poor old Howie and Junior and Gus Warland.
Yeah, the list goes on.
We'll speak to the bosses about getting you in, Nez. Don't need Howie.
Yeah.
Very kind of you, Aisha Gua. Thank you very much for joining us on Willow Talk. It's been a bit of fun. We hope you've enjoyed it. Let's keep our fingers and toes crossed that the Aussies can pull off Mission Impossible. All the action on Fox Cricket as well. But you have a fantastic weekend. Enjoy the Test cricket and enjoy the Big Bash. Have a great weekend.
That's Stumps on Triple M's Willow Talk.
Yes, they've done well.
Want a head start on the show for next week? Gadget Saturdays on Triple M. Need the edge? Has to be Irwin. Available at Bunnings Warehouse. Irwin, trade strong.